All right, let's kick it into high gear on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is the national edition of our show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. In studio with Brian Burke, former NHL executive, Canucks, Ducks, Leafs, Flames, Penguins, and now current executive director of the Professional Women's Hockey League Players Association.
Whalers?
Oh, my gosh.
How would you, of all people? Although you didn't, this wasn't up the top of the head.
I just read the thing. This is Sammy putting the Whalers on.
You played for me there, for God's sake.
I feel shame.
Well, I know that's going to be put on Sammy at some point. So
for sure. How are you? I think you're fresh off of a trip to Utica to cover the Women's World Hockey Champions, in which Canada won 6-5 in overtime.
Yeah, two exciting games. The first one was 1-0 in overtime. U.S. won, and then Canada won 6-5 in overtime. Really thrilling games. I mean, overtime in a gold medal game, as grueling as that is, that's what you want. That's what you pray for. So it was great. And I know people say Utica, not the best, not a vacation location, but what a great setup for a tournament. Three rinks, beautiful renovated rink, two practice rinks, a sport court, weight room. It was great.
It's come a long way since my mid-80s trips there with the Hershey Bears.
Yeah, I can tell you going with the Marlies in 2016, it wasn't a paradise yet. So good to hear they've made some upgrades. That's great. So we've been talking a little bit. We're just coming off the Leafs hour. So just going to dip our toe back in there in the national hour here and get your thoughts on Austin Matthews' chase for 70 goals. Two games left, playoffs ahead. Where do you stand on the
What ball? Would Brian Burke do in the next two games
Let
with
him
Austin
chase
Matthews?
It or rest him?
No, I'd let him. It's too special a award. It's a level to hit. In my mind, it's and I don't like, Nicky, my view is the players should play. I don't think players should take time off unless they're banged up or fatigued. If it's just a regular grind, that's what days off are for in practice. Mm-hmm. Give them a day off in practice. But you work. I like my players to play every game they could. So to me, he plays. So and then he gets the record and next game, then he can take off.
So load management doesn't exist for you in the National Hockey League like it would, say, basketball?
Load management is called practice. You take practice days off. You don't cheat people who paid money.
Yeah, that's a big thing in the NBA, right? Is there not like a restriction now that they have to play X amount of games? They can't all at once, I think.
It's restrictive, but what garbage? I mean, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you tell players, okay, we understand load management. Players want days off. I get it. So the league has a mandatory day off every week, which when I played, when you played, a day off a week, it was more like a day off a month. So we've progressed to that point. They get a day off now. If you want another day off, take a practice day off. You can play in the game.
There you go. Matthew's in.
I like it. I would imagine this time of year, Berkey, whether you're working and running a team or where you are, it's an exciting time, eh? The last regular season games and then where everybody slots in, and lo and behold, we can have two powerhouses, what we think is a powerhouse anyways, like the Dallas Stars versus Vegas, a potential first-round matchup here. Like, what are your thoughts on that in terms of going big early in the first round?
Well, it makes the regular season extremely important. That's the best part about it is all the games are critical. So players are playing for the right reason. The league does a masterful job of scheduling at the end of the season. They put in all divisional opponents. Mm-hmm. They put in teams that should matter, and they always end up mattering. So to me, the league deserves a lot of credit. Players deserve a lot of credit, but it is nerve-wracking. I can tell you, having lived through it as an executive, it is tough to watch.
So do you not, like, I've always felt like it would reward the regular season more if we did 1-8. And you've seen it done different ways. Do you like what they're doing now with the attempts at divisional round ones?
No.
No, you'd prefer 1-8.
I prefer 1-8, and I want to reseed each round. They should, even with brackets, they should still reseed each round. Mm-hmm. So the brackets, I know basketball people like them. Fans like them for betting, like for the certainty of who's going to play whom. I get it. I get brackets. I'd rather have 1-8. I'm not jumping off a bridge over 1-4, but they should reseed them each time. You should get the weakest opponent each time you play.
We're talking to Brian Burke in studio, former NHL executive for the Hartford Whalers and a bunch of teams I couldn't care less about. I was his first trade, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
For you.
For me.
Yeah, that's nice.
Do you remember who you traded?
We want to be on the other side
Yeah, I do. French name.
No. Mark Hunter.
Oh, Mark Hunter.
Really?
Yeah, with Washington Capitals.
Yep. But
never
Nicky
regretted
was
that
really
one.
Good for me. That was never, a great year. Never. 17 goals and 300 pims.
Yep.
That's a season.
Oh, that's just old now.
My favorite story is Nicky at the payphone in Hartford, and we're in Toronto in the airport. And I hear Nicky's on the big bank of payphones. Remember that?
Hey, remember those?
Yeah.
Remember those?
I actually do.
I hear Nicky going, "No, it's okay, Ma. They wouldn't let me play if I was hurt. No, Ma, it's okay. I love you. I love you." And Nicky hung up. I said, "She better be good looking." And Nicky said, "Berkey, that's my mom."
I got to ask you, in terms of Canada, we've seen a tremendous story in Vancouver. The Edmonton Oilers turned around their season early. The Leafs are the Leafs. Vancouver or Winnipeg with Hellebuck, arguably the best goalie in the league this season. Like, who's got the best chance to end this horrific drought since 1993?
Well, I'm not sure anyone's going to end that drought. That's a much deeper topic. We're having great success with five teams, I guess it is, this year. Good for the Canadian teams, or four. And Calgary was really in it till pretty late, so I'd count them as a contender. Mm-hmm. They got a good young group. I think the issue is the tax structure, and the tax differential is still so significant that I'm not sure any one of those teams can come out of it. I hope I'm wrong. The best team I've seen this year was Vancouver about a month ago when they were rolling, the best Canadian team. Mm-hmm. Winnipeg's been the best maybe the last four or five games. So it's all, you got to get hot at the right time, Nicky. You know how this works.
Yep.
So right now, the Winnipeg's rolling, and they look like they're peaking just at the right time. I like their goaltender the best of all of them. So right now, I'd probably pick them. But I'm not going to say any Canadian team is going to win it right now.
No favorites. And I do want to, you know, we've talked about the tax thing on this show quite a bit. It is a fascinating topic, and Kip has sort of mentioned that, like, it probably is going to create even a bigger disparity as the years go on here, and agents and everyone recognizes the difference. Do you think the league would ever do anything to create, I guess, a more balanced playing field to protect the Canadian teams a little bit?
Well, if you went with a cap where the money spent was after tax dollars, you'd have a great equalization factor right there. So you could only spend what your players take home. Because right now, that's where the Canadian teams are getting killed, and the state tax-free jurisdictions are making a killing. Texas, Nevada, those states, they have no local tax structure to speak of, and that's where the differential kicks in addition to much higher marginal rates. So that would be what I'd say, but to get a change of that magnitude, you would probably have to take a work stoppage. I don't think anyone would be willing to do it for that.
That's got to be a little upsetting for teams like Toronto and Vancouver and New York, who carry the freight on a lot of the revenue created over a season.
Yeah, well, that's why it cracks me up, Nicky. When I heard last week someone sent me a text and said they're talking seriously about a second team in Toronto. And I told the people there, I said, I got to be there. When these teams that cash that check that I saw the Toronto Maple Leafs write for $30 million in revenue sharing, to Carolina and Arizona and Anaheim when they were struggling. I got to be there when they all vote to put a second team in Toronto. I got to be in the room. So, no, it's a real problem, and it's not going to get better, but I'm not sure there's a short-term solution to it.
So you don't see a second team in Toronto ever happening?
Well, first off, let's step back.
Yeah.
I don't think we should be expanding at all. You know that. You've heard my rant about that.
Well, just the quality of play.
The quality of play, and there's 32 teams. You win a cup every 32 years if you're any good at it. Yeah. Some teams have never won, but it's every 32 teams you get to have a parade.
Yeah.
Oh, let's make that 40. Let's make it 44. Where does it stop? And it's all about money. This is just about money. You can grab the money, grab it. Doesn't matter if you water down the product. Doesn't matter if the travel gets worse. Doesn't matter if you add more games. Because the next thing is they've said they're moving to Salt Lake. If that happens, that's expansion. All right, it's over. The argument's over. That means they've added a team because they're giving Arizona the right to come back in the
and
next 5 years.
They will come back in.
That's too good a market. they've mismanaged it, had it in the wrong place. A team in Phoenix makes sense. So it's expansion. Now, what's automatic? If they add teams, they're going to have playoff teams. They're going to do play-ins, which I think is ridiculous. So I made a vow I'd stop doing this rant on TV.
No, let it
I do this little meme or gif where the guy says, get off my yard, you crabby old guy. That's what I feel like. But I feel these are two major, major mistakes, unforgivable mistakes by a league that does everything so well. I cannot believe we're about to add teams and add playoff teams. And they're both coming. Write it down.
10 years we've been talking, maybe longer, about Arizona and not having either the right ownership or couldn't get the proper rink here. So, I mean, you're watching this thing unfold in the last 7 to 10 days, and what's your first thought? It's about time?
No, I think you should come with an air sickness bag, this whole saga. It's just ridiculous that a city of 6 million people is going to fold and move to a city with 1.5 or whatever Salt Lake City has.
Yeah.
1.3 I read yesterday. So getting ready for the show, 1.5. I also remembered Hartford was a team that you worked at, Nikki. 1.5 million, say it's 1.5. So we're gonna give up a marketplace of 6 million people for a marketplace of 1.5 million people where they've never had pro hockey other than the IHL and some AHL teams that were there in the day.
Yeah.
The IHL before that. Okay, that makes sense to anyone else? Because it doesn't to me. Doesn't to me. Make this guy sell a team, get a new team in the right location, and keep playing.
So this then, more than any other expansion franchise, feels not about the market, but the owner. They seem to really want Ryan Smith involved because it sounds like Atlanta, much bigger market, Houston, much bigger market, Phoenix as well. They just seem to really like this guy, do they not? Is that?
That's sure the way it looks.
And how does that make sense for them? They just trust that he'll be able to pony up the money when time comes, so go for it?
I don't get it. All that does is, okay, so you can pass the test at a meeting by being a good guy and you can say he's a good guy. When he starts writing big checks, if the team loses money, is he still a good guy?
Yeah.
Because I've seen this movie before where people buy a team because they want to be popular. They want to be the big guy in town. I've seen that movie.
Is it happening?
You and I lived
Ottawa?
That movie.
And now it's that movie's not ending anytime soon here because now there's some there's talk out of Houston now. They're pushing really hard and, you know, whether it's Salt Lake City or Houston.
I know it's like, $1 billion a team times four. How can they say no to this? These guys will dislocate their shoulders voting for this. And then we go from 32 to 36.
Alan Walsh said it could be $2 billion a franchise.
$2 billion, okay, even more. Now they'll dislocate both shoulders.
Our show is live coast to coast across this country now. Every Canadian from both sides are watching right now. How should they feel about all of this in terms of watching Gary bend over backwards for every billionaire who wants to put a team somewhere in America, and we're sitting up here. And I got to tell you, today, after watching everything in Arizona, I'm really nervous for Winnipeg here in the next couple of years. I'm scared for Winnipeg right now.
See, and this is, first off, I wouldn't blame Gary. This is an ownership level thing. Yeah. This isn't Gary. It's not going to throw a rock at Gary Bettman over this. This is inexorable pressure from ownership. I can go to the bank. I don't have to bring a mask. I don't have to bring a gun. I can get 1/32nd of $1 billion+. I can do it twice, maybe three, maybe four times, and the union doesn't share in that money. I'm voting for this. This is done. There's no question in my mind. The news out of Arizona just confirms this for me. I've been saying this for 2 months now. It's not appropriate, and it's just a money grab. If the league announced that they wouldn't expand for 20 years, you couldn't buy an expansion team for 20 years, what would franchise values do? They'd triple.
Through the roof. Yeah.
They'd triple. So that's where you can make the money, in my mind. Keep your number manageable. They're going to start having parades for teams that win divisions when they get up to 40 teams. You're going to play teams every 2 years.
Playoffs is like a winning a cup.
Yeah, getting in.
Getting in.
A couple of gates.
And that's going to change. And the plan's coming. This, I feel like, again, Cassandra, you read your Greek mythology. She could foretell the future, but nothing ever happened. Never came through. And so she had to predict these awful things that would happen, and then they watch them happen. That's what I feel like. I feel like Cassandra. this is a mistake. And it's going to be followed by a bigger mistake by increasing the number of playoff teams. Everyone's going to say it's great, and it's not.
Well, so I love the idea of a play-in. Like, I think, you know, there's all these teams.
You and, would.
Well, I know. Well, hold on now.
Where everybody gets a medal.
Listen, yeah. You know what? Everyone blames my generation for that. It was our parents who gave us the medals. It was your generation.
We're such idiots.
Yeah. But the if you had play-in games, you're looking at Washington, Philly, and like St. Louis, Arizona, St. Louis, Minnesota. Like, they're bad teams.
But guaranteed sellouts.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you think St. Louis is a bad team?
I thought you were using that as an example
of how there are some decent matchups.
But Philly's no good. Washington's not a very good team.
I thought you were going to make the other point.
They're good teams.
That they're good teams.
And I don't think they
are. Compelling matchups. Good. Because I think you could get some compelling matchups. You get play-in games where you got one game, it's a one-game knockout.
Yeah.
You're going to see some good games.
Yeah, okay.
Like the product is going to compel a good result. That doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean we should vote for it. So you get one more meaningless game to totally dismantle the value of the regular season? No.
Now you can finish 20th and get in a play-in game by the math, right?
Yes, two participation aside. Medals. Yeah.
Speaking of suspect competition, maybe, we're watching a bit of a snail's race here in the Eastern Conference for a wild card spot, including your old club, the Pittsburgh Penguins, that Sidney put on his back and is absolutely carrying him. Who ends up with the final spot here, Berkey?
Well, it looks like a turtle race till the end, and then Sid really, truly has been dragging that team along. Mm-hmm. And they hit a bit of a bump the other day, but no one's noticed. The Islanders seem to be doing the same bloody thing.
Yeah.
And they won six in a row, and that's the key right now. It's Winnipeg going into Colorado and spanking them. That's the key, is to be hot when your team is going well, not the rest of the time. And the timing of this is critical. So to me, now they still got a week to go, still got two games to go. I know everyone thinks, oh, you want Pittsburgh to lose because they fired you. Well, I don't really want ever root against Sid or Chris Letang or the other guys, Brian Russ, the other guys they had there. I really respect and admire those guys. So I'm indifferent on the race, except that people I care about are in it. So to me, I've been watching it with great fascination and interest. But the team to watch for me the last week, 10 days, has been the Islanders.
Yeah. I mean, they look noticeably different since Patrick Waugh has come. A lot of their defensive numbers are a lot better. Like, I don't know if it's as simple as goaltending, but Varlamov has helped them out quite a bit. Like, yeah. They feel like a team that in a playoff series could at least make it difficult on someone.
Well, in the style they play, they're designed for playoff success. They limit good chances. It's not scintillating.
No.
It's not exciting. It's not...
Lou Lamoriello hockey.
It's Lou Lamoriello hockey. But
plus, Matt Barzal. He's just like tapped on.
As Lou mentioned to me one time when we were all whining about the trap, Lou said, Brian, before you guys yap about the trap, I should notice that my teams that won three cups led the league in goals scored the 3 years they won the cup. So
that is missed story.
Yeah, it is a missed story. So it's not as bad as you think, but it's not scintillating. And it does lend itself to playoff success. You limit the quality chances. It means you got to dumb it down a little bit and play a little conservatively. But I think they've started scoring goals in bunches, and Barzal is an X factor for me.
A lot of talk, especially with the MVP race. And, you know, Austin's pushed hard here, close to 70 right now, so he's in the mix. But we've got four great seasons in front of our eyes with McKinnon, McDavid, Austin, and Cooch, of course, in Tampa Bay. What's the differential for you? What is the difference between one winning or one coming in fourth place?
Well, I think all four of these guys have been major factors in their team's success. In my mind, Tampa's turnaround has been fueled by Kucherov. You look at McDavid, he turned their team around in Edmonton. Matthews has been quietly great all year, doesn't matter what his line mates are. So I think there are four great names in there, no question. And McDavid or McKinnon has been great all year, and he's the most exciting player probably of the bunch, most explosive. But to me, I don't know how you debate this with Kucherov being, except that no one likes him. Kucherov has quietly, I think he's 40 points ahead of the next guy. And the next guy's not some bum. It's not Brian Burke. It's Braden Point, who has not got 40 points. He's got 75 or 80 points. So, like, he's 40 points ahead of the next best guy who's in the top 10 in scoring. I don't know how you discount that. Heard Marty Brown talking about this last night, and I agree with him.
Yeah, Kucherov is now 52 points up on Braden Point.
And what's Braden best. Point? Where's
89.
He? 89 points. So yeah. He's not Brian
season.
Burke.
Yeah, he's having a 45 goals, Point has.
So he's 50 points ahead of a great player having a great year and not some stiff.
Yeah.
Like, I know other teams have said that, well, he's 40 points ahead of the next guy. The next guy's got 50 points. Well, big deal.
Right.
This kid's having a great year, and he's a great player. So, to me, it's Kuch. Now, 70 goals is 70 goals. I don't know how you ignore that if you're a voter. I'm glad I don't vote. But to me, it's Kuch.
So, you know, one thing I think with the way you build teams, I think of the Phil Kessel trade and saying, like, you have to have elite talent on your team to win. You know, you look at all the guys we just named. All these teams are in playoffs, and these guys are making a big difference. Crosby dragging a team to playoffs himself. You know, how do you look back at the decisions you made as a GM to go out and pursue, you know, the hunt to get both the Sedins, the elite, elite guys, and the difference those kind of players make?
Well, Phil was a little different because we didn't lottery protect Phil, which was a horrible mistake in retrospect. Yeah. And I've said that publicly many times. Phil was great for us. He did everything we asked him to do, but we didn't lottery protect the team, the pick, because, frankly, we were at Christmas time, we're in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
We had that horrible 18-wheeler right. going off the cliff.
Yeah.
So, actually, you look back on that and you say, well, you should have lottery protected. Back then, not a lot of teams didn't bother, didn't do it, and we thought we were in good shape. But to me, you can't win without star players. And in Toronto in particular, I felt we had price fatigue. I felt that we were charging so much for tickets, not having success, not having any star power. So we brought Dion in, brought in Phil. Now all of a sudden we got some recognizable names and people – And people appreciated that.
Yeah.
So to me, I don't think you can win without star players. It has been done. I've had people send me texts and say, you know, this guy, that guy, this team won with this. But the fact of the matter is most great teams have great players, and you can't win without them. And I would always believe that. So the Twins, before the Twins, we had the Triple Crown Line or whatever they call them, West Coast Express, Naslund, Bertuzzi, and Morrison. Yeah. Had the Twins. I got Pronger and Hartford before that. I've always been fishing with big lures.
So do you like the way Vegas has gone about winning their cup and building that team?
Yeah, subject to the question about the LTIR. You know, this is something, I mean, to me, I've been asked about this on the radio, and I've said the same thing every time. If it's permitted by the rules, I'm okay with it. As long as the league signed off on this, I'm okay with it. That being said, maybe we have to look at it in the offseason and say, don't whine about what Vegas did. If it's permitted by the rules, it's permitted by the rules. You can't say, oh, but they shouldn't have got that guy. If the league said it's okay, I'm okay with it. And good luck on him. I don't like changing that many players that late. I think it usually doesn't work, but we'll see. We'll find out the hard way.
The stars have to line up a little bit for you here, too.
You also need someone on board, right?
Mark Stone could have said, no, I don't want to go on that long term. Or, you know, maybe it was to the point where he thought he was legitimately out for 6 months and he's not. I don't know how it works, but it takes many people to kind of
make it happen.
Dance.
It's a system issue, though, Nikki. To me, that's something the league and the union have to work out after the season. It shouldn't be a topic of conversation. Now, well, how come Tomas Hertl is playing? How come Mark Stone came back early? Mm-hmm. Well, he had a lacerated spleen. I'm pretty sure you can't lie about that on a medical report. Pretty sure they've got a picture of it somewhere, of the imaging.
Sure.
He's got a lacerated spleen. In order to make that up, they didn't say it's a sprained ankle. They said it's a lacerated spleen, for God's sake. So to me, deal with those system issues if you have to. And I'm not saying you don't have to. Maybe they're $20 million over right now. Maybe that's not right. We've got to fix it, but let's not worry about it tonight. Not talk about it with should Mark Stone be skating or not.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're just far less cynical than I am, which I'm surprised to find myself saying. But, you know, the idea that Stone, I think you can say, you know, push the return date, right? You can change the return date. Maybe he would have been ready 2 weeks ago and you just kind of hold the guy off. But I guess you can't say, as a league, force a guy to get a test.
If he says he's ready and the doctors say he's ready, that to me, so he's beating the system. That's what we want players to do.
Yeah.
We want players to beat the return to play date if they can without violating the doctor's orders. But if a guy, how many times have you seen that, Nick? A guy says 6 to 8 weeks and he's back in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Because he works hard. Because he pays attention to detail.
So he's faster.
But that never happens with a team like Vegas, where they acquire players to make room. Like, had Stone got healthy 2 weeks ago, what would they have done?
Well, Kucherov got healthy, right? He played his first game in the playoffs. So if you're a cynic, you can be cynical. Go back 3 years to be a cynic.
Yeah.
Got to ask you, going in next Saturday, who do you like?
Next Saturday.
Start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. What team do you like?
I don't do predictions. What teams do I like?
Do you like Vegas over Dallas? The blue line?
Tom Gilardi is such a good friend. He would never forgive me if I picked Vegas over. Vegas was the best team earlier in the year for about a month, I thought. And they got better the deadline. The acquisitions they made at the deadline didn't put them over the top for me. They weren't like, oh, boy, it's a 50-goal scorer. But it's Tomas Hertl, who's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
And, Noah Hanifin, he's not a number one defenseman on my team. He's a three for me, but he's a quality three. Big guy, can skate, good guy. So, yeah, I think there's lots of teams that can win it. It's about being hot at the right time. I don't like Vegas' goaltending. I don't. I think they fluked out. The one goalie got hot last year wasn't a fluke. I'll get people calling me. He was great, but I don't think he can do that again consistently.
I got to ask you before we let you go, and this has been fantastic. Thanks for coming in. Just goaltending in general, there seems to be over the last few years less of an importance, less of a putting your cap money in it. Is it finally waking up to a position that wasn't never as important as we thought it was, or just the economics of the salary cap has pushed it to, I can't trust my instincts on it anyway, so why commit so much money to it?
I think it's a combination of all of those things. I think right now it is. A couple teams have done it by just drafting big goalies and seeing who can play, who turns into a player. Mm-hmm. So many of these guys weren't starters and have turned into starters or got starters' jobs. And so you say to yourself, at the draft, you're like, well, we're not drafting Carey Price where we drafted him, fifth overall. We're going to take him in the third round. And if someone else takes another, we'll take another 6'4" guy.
Yeah.
And we'll just keep throwing numbers out there like they did in Vegas. They got three reject goalies or two, and one of them won a cup for them. So to me, I think it's a combination of all those things. If you can save money, it looks like you should be able to save money on goalies. If you're right, I don't think Toronto feels that way right now.
It's going to be interesting to watch this thing play out in a very short period of time. Hey, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. It was Hartford, by the way. Hartford.
The Whalers.
Sean Burke. We had Sean Burke.
You guys were ahead of your time. Goalie,
right?
Just put the giant guy in net, the giant equipment. Good idea.
All right. Thanks, Berkey.
Thank you.
We look forward to you in the coming weeks, coming back and sharing your thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs. Berkey. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get our boy Sammy in for game time. You're watching and listening to The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. The Kipper is Justin Bourne. And his regular spots, Sammy McKee, who just listened to a lot of Brian Burke opinion.
Love it. Fired up about expansion and how that shouldn't happen. And it's not old man yells at cloud.
No, it is
right. He could not be more right. He's preaching.
It's mostly 32 old men who own sports teams being greedy and actively sabotaging the quality of hockey.
He made a really good point about leaving a market like Arizona for a market like Salt Lake City.
Jumped out to me.
I didn't think about it like that either. And it's like, okay, you've committed 20-plus years in Arizona, and what was the biggest issue?
Well, just bad rink location, really.
Yeah.
Also, the team was never any good.
Couldn't find an owner, a good owner, who could build you a solid facility in the right spot.
They just never had success, man. If they won for a minute, it might be different.
That's not Arizona Coyote hockey fans' issue.
No.
That's not their fault.
credit to those people who are still Coyotes fans. They have been through the ringer, and to still be a fan is a testament
right
to their
now.
Commitment. Yeah.
I will say, I can't imagine losing a professional sports team.
Well, and you would have punted on being a fan of that team long ago.
Let me tell you something.
No,
I grew up.
Buddy,
like,
I was a Leaf fan for all my 20s.
Me too.
They were awful.
Me too.
I mean, the threats to leaving.
Oh, yeah.
My first love affair was with the Toronto Maple Leafs, 9, 7 years old. Right? Sittler, yeah. McDonald,
yeah.
Palmateer. Like, for me to think about my childhood without them or them moving would have devastated me.
Yeah. 100%. And there's a lot of young hockey players in this state.
It would have been like, it would have altered my life.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And in all honesty, thank you from the bottom of my heart, Arizona Coyotes, for Auston Matthews.
Yeah,
thank
isn't
you.
That the truth?
Thank you. I will always
Matthew
love you.
Matthew Nyes,
always,
too, while you're at it.
And Derek buzzed in my ear and said, Nyes. Yeah. But less so.
Yeah.
But Matthews, I thank you very much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's game time, Sammy. Oh,
it's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I know everyone loves when we talk golf. So I thought, even after the Masters, I would bring up some golf in game time.
Yes.
So, Scottie Scheffler gets it done yesterday.
Congrats to Sammy.
Yep, thank you. Won some money.
Kind of took the edge off of it.
Well, there was a moment there.
He was too good.
There was a moment there.
There's four people tied at -6, and then there wasn't.
Yeah, it was like, this is about to be the 86 Masters, and then it was like, wow, it's not good anymore. So, it was really good. But, so Scottie wins the Masters, and now you can bet on Bet365. You can go to the specials under golf, and you can bet on players to win 2+ majors. So for the whole season. And Scottie Scheffler's already done that, obviously. He's won one major, so he needs to win one more for this bet to hit. His odds to win two majors, so that him to get one more of three. He's +100.
Even money.
British Open's
money.
Next, right?
No, it's last. It goes PGA Championship at Valhalla.
Oh, okay.
US Open at Pinehurst, and then I think Carnoustie is the Open.
Did they change that?
It used to be.
The PGA Championship used to be last.
Yeah.
No one cares about it.
2 years?
Okay.
2-3 years? Yeah. So +100, even money to get one more. And
if you hit the golf ball this far from the hole from everywhere in the golf course like him, you're going to win some championships.
If you want him to get, if you want three majors this year, it's only +650.
That's a bad bet.
And to win four majors, it's only +3,300, 33-1 to go for the career Grand Slam this season. So there's some numbers on Scottie Scheffler that I thought I would bring up with you.
Okay. Was he serious that he was willing to leave if his wife had a baby?
This was a running argument with my wife and I watching.
Okay.
I don't believe him.
I'm not an expert in pregnancies, okay? I'm not going to go out there and say that I'm not. But isn't it 3 weeks? Like, everyone's like, she's due tomorrow. It's like she's due in 3 weeks. Of course it could happen, but like, it wasn't imminent.
Oh, I didn't realize it was true.
First of all, the first
so
kid.
So much good guy, goodwill.
The first kid, she could be in labor for 27 hours. You know how many rounds I could get on my first kid?
Well,
I could have got three rounds in.
Can I just back this up and say, if the baby was going to be born and he was leading the Masters going into Sunday, sorry, I'll see you the next day.
Well, I mean, it's Augusta National. You can't even get cell service, so...
3.6 million, Masters champion. Like, you can put your family in a better position. The baby's not going to remember. It doesn't know you're not there.
Listen.
I was there, for the record.
If I've ever found out that my dad chose me...
to be there.
...in the hospital winning a green jacket, I would shoot him.
Yes, you would have affected your whole life.
The only thing
we
is...
We do not agree.
What is
if you're going to miss it, you better win.
He finished fourth.
Yeah. Well, it's like,
but you know, I said to my wife, both our dads played for the Islanders. Like, I don't know that they were there. I think, you know, like
I don't know what year. Like, when was the cross line when like you missed games for pregnancy? It didn't happen. And
right,
you would have been like, you talk to some of the alumni like I do.
Yeah.
They laugh.
They missed a game for the birth of a child. They'd be like, was he delivering it? What happened? Why'd he miss it?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. And for the record, our dads were there, actually.
And That was game time. So, I mean, he's on 13. He's three strokes up. It's like, well, I got to walk back to the clubhouse
yeah,
anyway.
I'm just going to hit this thing in the hole on the way in.
How did game time go to, like delivery rooms?
Can we get odds on the gender of his baby?
but he's listed amongst the players this week because it's at Harbortown. It's another elevated event right away. So I was like, are you going to do this all again? I don't know. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest on. Find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Dairy only.
Okay, for the record, we've never gone into a Game Time with more influential games to the Stanley Cup final.
Just a massive night.
And you don't mention one of them in Game Time.
Well, that's where we got our beautiful news and notes segment, bud. What game would you like to talk about?
Buddy, there is absolute massive playoff implications for tonight.
Let this turtle race be over with and let the big boy start here.
It affects your Toronto Maple Leafs. If Washington beats Boston.
Right, the Leafs have to play another team, they're going to be underdogs too.
All right, nothing matters.
I'm the goalie.
Did you see the quotes from Devin Cooley?
We're all going to die.
From San Jose? He was like, I just tell myself nothing matters. No one cares. We're going to die anyway. Like after every shot.
See, that's why I'd rather watch every Leaf game, actually.
I'm with them with that no one cares.
Yeah.
I'm at the point in my life when I don't think anybody cares.
It's actually the only reason I feel remotely comfortable doing this job is I don't think anyone actually cares. I don't believe it. So I just say things and send them out there. Yeah.
At least he didn't say that we're all a bunch of molecules bumping into each other in outer space.
That
was close. That was probably the next thing on his
which is a valid point
on his mind.
Too. You know, any place for the Sharks? He's like, what am I going to be nervous? Like, does this game matter? They want us to lose.
I like this kid.
I do too. It's very like punk rock attitude.
Speaking of those Sharks, they're +425 against the Edmonton Oilers tonight. -575 if you want to bet.
Well, McDavid's not playing, right?
No, he is.
McDavid's back in.
Okay, he is playing. All right.
So that was two or three games you missed?
Three.
Yeah, that's maybe one
Spleen
for like
issues?
The tiniest little problem and two for like, don't worry, we just rested you.
Yeah. I mean, peak McDavid coming into round one. So looking at the potential playoff matchups as of today, are you guys okay with having this chat now?
Would love it.
So Boston Bruins, Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
Who's the underdog there?
In Vegas, it will be the Tampa Bay Lightning. I would say probably +125
in the
series.
And you think probably in reality 50-50 series?
I would pick Lightning.
Yeah. Kip?
I'm lending towards Sammy here with the Lightning. Crazy. I know Tampa Bay's defense isn't
not great.
Great, but I'm not sure where I sit with, I guess, McAvoy and Lindholm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But Tampa's forwards are just, to me, that much better than Boston's. Let's go west.
Let's flip them.
Talk about our Canadian teams a little bit. Vancouver Canucks most likely to play the Nashville Predators in round one. Is Nashville, who's been smoking hot at the deadline,
a
threat?
I think this has upset written on
it. Oh, my God. Oh. Not a chance.
Sound you just heard is everybody in Vancouver crashing into the seawall because Nick Kyprios in Toronto is having to lose the Preds.
Where's Thatcher?
I think it's...
Thatcher's just going to come out of the bullpen and save this series?
Yeah,
It's hard.
It's not an easy series.
I have been a Preds hater for as long as they have been hot. I am not. They've cooled off since then. Mm-hmm. You just look at their roster. It's not there. They're not the Canucks.
I know. But they got these guys like.
Bannon 5.
Like Gussie Nyquist. You wouldn't look twice at him. The guy's having a career
Canucks.
Year.
Yeah. They've had
guys like 33, 34. He's got 70 plus points already. It's like.
But that's
Buddy,
what makes
where
me
are you
skeptical
coming from?
Of them. Is like, this doesn't seem sustainable. The Oilers, Kings. Any chance the Kings can...
No. You cannot bet against McDavid this year in this round.
The reason I feel like, you know, if you were to make a case for Nashville is UC Saros. Cam Talbot, to me, is not going to steal one from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Agreed.
I don't even think that one is particularly close, but I do think Vegas would give them a push where they were that to end up being the series. Right now it's Vegas, Dallas, and then Winnipeg, Colorado.
I am not a Gorgiev fan.
No.
I think that's the one thing that is going to hold back. They've lost 7 out of 10 or something.
And given up a lot of goals.
Yeah.
I think with Hellebuyck,
although they had a deep. The year they won the cup, I think they had a bad finish to the season too.
Did they?
Yeah. And then they had a good one yet last year and they got knocked out, didn't they, by Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah, they did lose to Seattle first round. Yeah.
So I don't know. And it's Nate Dogg.
It's a little Sportsnet gonna be rooting and they're our Canadian teams, I can tell you that.
Yeah. So
I'm not sure if there'd be a bigger position to position mismatch in the first round than Gorgiev versus Hellebuyck.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like that is a huge
and in this corner,
difference.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. So
series could tilt on that. Back to the East. God, Panthers.
Colorado has been bleeding goals.
Like what do you got?
It's just 6, 7, 5, ew. 7, 4.
Yeah.
Go back one, 5.
That's
4.
Not good.
Like it's 4 to Columbus loss. It's not been pretty for a while here for them. Since the start of April, it has been awful.
All right. It's a good sign.
It's a good sign.
Leafs, Panthers, Rangers, Capitals.
Yeah.
Capitals. Ooh. Carolina Islanders on the other side.
Yeah, those are a lot less sexy. The East is a lot less sexy than
the Capitals. Someone's got to take that spot.
Well, who?
Pittsburgh.
Is this
Detroit?
Is this a Daryl Sutter waste of 8 days?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For any of those teams playing the Rangers, they're going to get filled in. Feels pretty inevitable, does it not?
Yeah. I look at Detroit and I'm like, you need James Reimer right now?
What does that mean?
Well, you need him to be great now, and I'm not sure that's capable. You're capable of. Even if you make the playoffs, yeah. I cannot see their goaltenders.
No. But he made a couple of pretty good stops on Saturday. You know, he robbed Matthews a couple times. I thought he was okay, better than he is.
No.
He's okay, Kipper.
Him and Sammy were horrible Saturday.
The one game I'm watching tonight is I am rooting really hard for the Ottawa Senators to beat the Rangers because you could get a Islanders-Rangers round one matchup. Which I would absolutely love, and I like more for the Islanders than Carolina, who has Columbus to finish their season tomorrow.
That would be fun.
Be a good series, too.
You think?
Because I also don't love the Rangers. I know
I don't know. Shesterkin seems to be solid again.
Yeah. All right.
So there you go.
Let's go around the league here.
And you think the Panthers are going to beat the Leafs?
I do not. Leafs Panthers?
Dallas Vegas?
We didn't give any predictions or anything. Do you have a pick
in that one?
No,
I'm just like, first of all,
I glossed over it.
I feel bad for one of those teams that made such a commitment to go for it.
Oh my God.
To be absolutely crushed.
The sound you just heard, now that you alienated Vancouver, the sound you just heard was Edmonton driving off the road in anger. Oh, I feel bad for Vegas. The guys who cheated the system with a broken spleen. They're like, yeah, great.
Did you not hear Brian Burke?
I did.
They
did
nothing against the rules.
It's all above and beyond. I would never doubt Berkey.
Go back and...
I listen to Berkey.
Grab your podcast if you missed it and listen to Brian Burke talk about Vegas bringing back Mark Stone.
I do think Dallas probably wins that series.
So do I.
But I would probably prefer to see Vegas.
And who's your goalie in Vegas? Hill?
Yeah.
Or Logan Thompson?
Give it to the guy who won the cup.
He hasn't been great either.
No.
Down the stretch.
No, he hasn't at all.
No, sir. And did you give a Leafs prediction? Because I got Leafs.
I did not.
Let's get through
the two Florida games and see what's left of them.
Oh God.
You know. Heaven forbid Austin takes a spill into the boards.
Oh my
Panther,
God.
For Sammy. Ekblad and Verhaeghe on track to play game one against the Leafs of the playoffs. There you have it.
They're That's significant.
What's that? Getting those guys back?
For Hagee.
Yes, it's massive. He is one of those guys. Florida scored a lot of rush goals last year, kind of in transition. And he's that guy. He's scored 40 goals in a season before, so that would be bad news.
I have to give a shout-out to our Montreal contingent because we ignore them completely. That second-round pick, that Lane Hutson, signed with them, and he's making his debut tonight. So
there's
that's excitement for them. You know,
there's a little bit of that going around the league, right? Guys are coming in off entry contracts, burning a year.
Yeah, the kid in Chicago, what's his name? Frank. Anyway, he scored yesterday, breakaway, and did like a down Frank the bench Nazar, like down the bench, like, you know, celebration. He kind of checked himself halfway and realized it's not college anymore, I think. But I was like, man. If you're on the bench watching a kid in his first game do that, I would not have been happy about that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if anybody cares anymore.
I think you can do whatever the hell you want these days. No one really gets that.
I mean, you probably should
be
able
to. The only thing you can't do is do anything with an empty net near the Ottawa Senators. That's the only thing that's not allowed in hockey.
So who did Sid go after?
Oh, Pasternak
on the weekend.
Slapshot after the after the final buzzer.
I thought that was appropriate.
I did too.
Right? Just
if Sid does it. All good.
But totally appropriate. It was a shot at the goalie, which to me makes sense, right? It's not a...
Regardless, it's just about, did you disrespect us in any way, shape, or form? Didn't have to go and punch him. Didn't have to go put him, you know, cross-check him or hit his head over.
Yeah.
Get suspended for 5 games, He's going to remember how to have a conversation with him.
Don't like it.
Yeah.
Don't like it. And it's noted. And it drew the appropriate attention, I think.
Yes. Fade away before we go. Ottawa Senators have 2 games left. They play tonight and tomorrow night. So going into the offseason for this franchise, I was hanging out with a friend who's a Sens fan earlier today, so I feel like asking on his behalf, what's going to happen with Ottawa this offseason?
Major changes.
No hesitation.
No hesitation.
To personnel, to staff.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah?
Yeah. Coach. And there'll be some interesting movement.
Do you think he'll trade a big name or two?
Guaranteed.
Yeah. So that'll be Stajos's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, have to get aggressive on that.
He's not happy.
You know what I think the fear is from Sens fans? Is that Andlauer bought the team, and then this year, by not paying for Berube or whoever, worried that they're going to have an owner who is not going to spend the way... Because you need to spend to compete in this league.
They're worrying about that already?
Yep.
No, I think they'll be fine.
They'll spend?
They're going to start with, a good coach.
One thing is for sure about the Ottawa Senators offseason. Their fans will scream at Leaf fans about how they've got a better future and how they got a better core going forward.
This summer really wore on you that they were like,
this is it. Here we are. Last.
You know what's crazy is they actually are 2 points ahead of Montreal, if I'm not mistaken.
Good for them. What an accomplishment.
They could conceivably still sneak behind the Canadian.
Brutal.
Why don't you wait to see what happens in the next 3 weeks before you throw that one out there?
The Leafs lose the first round.
I want them to get Celebrino.
It doesn't matter in terms of Sens. Like, they can. Leafs have the ultimate trump card on the Sens. It's like you can make fun of the Leafs for whatever. You can talk about it. It's like the Leafs have swept them every time they played them. They swept them in the playoffs. Every time they ever played in the playoff series, beat them. Epic fashion. Hasn't happened in 100 years. Have that as a slam dunk. Habs fans got tons of stuff in the Leafs. Lots of people have tons of stuff in the Leafs. Sens fans can say literally nothing. Every time they go there, it's all Leaf fans.
Oh, he is
complete ownership of the Senators.
He is generating right Celebrini to the Senators. He's doing it all with those vibes. Oh, yeah.
And that's a perfect guy. They'll be like, we're finally better than the Leafs, and we'll have 76 points next year.
He's already going back to Chicago. That's the market they got to build up.
Yeah, Celebrini, you think if the league were to rig it, it'd be
him
Chicago?
And Bedard.
I like that idea.
That's Taves Kane all over again.
Oh, now we're
then,
talking.
Then Pittsburgh will be due for their next bout of Yager, Lemieux, Crosby, Malkin. They're going to have to start getting the next ones.
Maybe it's that kid that got exceptional status, the 14-year-old. I forget his name, but.
You won't. You'll know it someday. Oh, God.
All right.
You dropped stuff.
I know. I'm a mess.
8 games on tap. We're going to get a much clearer picture this time tomorrow on what's ahead of us during the Stanley Cup playoffs in the first round. So enjoy your games. and we're back tomorrow. Our thanks to Brian Burke, in-studio guest. Tomorrow, Sammy, you got some treats for us. Who else is coming in tomorrow? What do you got going, Sammy, tomorrow? Can't wait on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Big pressure. You're going to wait.
Have a good night, everybody.